It's being called the Great Drought of 2012. More than half of the counties across the United States are experiencing drought conditions, and almost half of the nation's corn crop and more than a third of the soybean crop are being rated as poor or very poor. And the outlook for coming years is more of the same. It's not only bad news for American farmers, who are experiencing some of the worst months since the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, there are global implications as well. Michael Clare, a professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College, says because of the drought in the United States, by this coming winter there will be much less grain available on the world market.
Which means that anybody who has to import food, all the countries in Africa and the Middle East that depend on food imports, are going to have to pay much more to buy grain from the few other countries in the world that have a surplus, which means the price of food all over the world will rise. And because so many people are already suffering from economic hardship, this is going to make their life much worse. And I fear it's going to lead to a lot of discontent and social upheavals of one sort or another, like we've seen in the past few years.
In the recent past, 2007, 2008, there were spikes in grain prices. Again, in 2011, there was a spike in grain prices. What were some of the consequences of that?
In 2008, food prices doubled almost overnight, well, in a very short period of time. And this created vast hardship and misery for poor people all across the planet, in the Western Hemisphere, in Africa, in Asia, and there were riots all over the world. People call them food riots. In Haiti, they became so severe that the government fell because people didn't think the government was doing enough to help them. In other places, people were shot in clashes with the police, fighting to get their hands on food at warehouses. Troops were called out in Pakistan to guard food warehouses. So that was devastating. But in 2011 came the Arab Spring. And we know that the Arab Spring was caused by many factors, of course, hatred of entrenched dictators and government corruption. But this combined with rapidly rising food prices, so people's lives were getting much worse. The government was doing nothing to address their problems. There was a lot of corruption. And the combination of rising food prices, hunger, and anger against the government was the combination of factors that triggered the Arab Spring.
Here in the United States, we only spend about 13% of our income on food. In other parts of the world, it is much higher. What are the consequences for the United States of the food shortages that will result from this year's drought?
Now, of course, that 13% is an average for all American households. For upper-income people, it's not going to make that big a difference. But for poor people and the unemployed, the rise in food prices is going to have an impact. Beef and other meats that are fed corn and soy feed, those prices will have to rise. Many other things are made with corn as a feedstock, so a lot of basic food commodities are going to rise, and that's just going to be an added hardship for poor, unemployed families around the country, and that, I suspect, will have political implications.
There has been a reluctance to blame droughts on global warming. Is there a link, and what can we look forward to in the future in terms of the frequency and severity of droughts and weather-driven phenomena that will affect the price of food?
Now, this is highly contested territory, but I would say the scientific community is increasingly coming to the view that droughts are caused by global warming. You can't say that a particular drought is caused by global warming, but when you have year after year more droughts and more prolonged droughts and more intense droughts, which is what we've been seeing over the past 10 years, the cumulative effect, that is being attributed to global warming. And James Hansen, the NASA scientist who first alerted us to the problem of global warming, has just published a paper in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that makes it very clear that this correlation cannot be ignored.
Is there anything that can be done at this point to help stave off future droughts and to ensure that this food supply remains stable?
Well, this is going to be the most challenging problem facing humanity in the decades ahead, and there is no easy solution. So the main task is to slow the pace of global warming and then to reverse it, and we all know what kinds of things are necessary to do that. Basically, to burn less fossil fuels, and this is going to be hard to do. Your listeners are well aware of the debates about that and the importance of doing that. That's essentially what has to be done. But we have to recognize that because of the carbon dioxide in the air already, which is going to stay there for another 50 years, the planet is going to get hotter. So in the meantime, even if we succeed in slowing global warming, in the meantime, we're going to have to learn how to produce food more effectively and distribute it more equitably to poor people. Otherwise, we're going to have conflict and wars all over the world constantly as people become more and more hungry.
Michael Clare is a professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College and author of The Race for What's Left, The Global Scramble for the World's Last Resources.